This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
As I've been trying to say, BT, for the last couple weeks, what a difference a week can make, what a difference a series can make, or even a weekend. And whereas on Friday night, it felt like, oh my God, it's over for the Mets. Finally, put the fork in them, the division's toast. They can't keep blowing these damn leads. They have righted the ship and stabilized here with two solid performances back-to-back, top to bottom. The offense, the bullpen, and, of course, the starting pitching. And I have to think now, at least I feel like this, the worst is behind them, especially with a soft schedule coming up this week.
Good couple of days. There's no doubt about that. Listen, all the things we've discussed with the Mets here, it was always like, let's find something that provides a spark and hope. And really, the thing that we know about the New York Mets now, when, and we've known this for a while, Lindor hits, Mets win, and that's the connection to the Mets playing well and one of their best players doing his job very well, which he's in the middle of doing. But the hope aspect comes in the form of McLain. Like, that to me over the weekend, you know, Friday with the bullpen malfunctions again, almost impossible to comprehend. I don't know that they're all past that. Because I don't know if some of these guys can handle New York. I don't. We're going to have to run them back out there, see what happens, and see how they respond. But, you know, at least the stabilization, that's a word we use a lot. Yeah. The reason why the Yanks and the Mets are in these tailspins, the stabilization for now of the Mets season appears to be upon us, and we'll see what happens.
Well,
it's good.
I mean,
got to start somewhere.
Yeah, it's only two games, sure, but it just feels totally different with the two games. Now, there could be, and I was saying over this 12-game stretch against the crappy Braves, even with the Mariners, throw them in there, that the Mets should go 9-3. I mean, 8-4 at worst, but they've now gone 3-3 in those first six, so they've got a lot of work to do. I would not be surprised if they won six in a row. Certainly wouldn't be. Now, I wouldn't accept anything less than 5-1. You got three with the Nats, three with the Braves. Go beat the snot out of them. Like, they're better. You've stabilized here. The offense is heating up, and that's what should carry them. There are no more excuses. You get the you don't have the pressure of playing in front of the fans at home where you feel like, oh, you know, every lead is going to be coughed up, whatever it may be. Go now that they got those two wins against a very good Mariners team,
yeah,
and a team that was hot themselves with good pitching. There are no more excuses for the Mets. They need to rattle off here either 5 out of 6 or 6 in a row and get back in the division. If they don't do that, then, we get 38 games to go. If they don't do that, then the division's probably going to be gone, and then it's going to be battling the Reds for that final wild card spot. But I still think that everything's right there in front of them. McLain, to me, it was a nice shot in the arm. They needed it. But still, he's only going to be pitching every fifth day. So they need Manaea to wake up. It was great to get Clay Holmes last night.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to need Senga to wake up. Like, they need those guys to wake up. The primary reason why I would be excited is I do trust the bullpen, but the bats starting to carry them, which is something that we have not seen. That's been the one constant. Even in the losses, they've been hitting the ball.
Yeah, I mean, Lindor looks fantastic, you know, and who knows if that's going to jumpstart Vientos a little bit here.
Yeah.
And Soto's obviously had a really good year. Not an amazing year, but a good year.
You know,
and he's Juan Soto.
First player to 30 homers and 20 stolen bases in baseball this year.
That is a stat that I probably would not have put money down to start.
Yeah, I know. I had to check it. I'm like, what? And Ohtani's only got 17 steals.
Yeah.
First
that's
play.
Good. I didn't realize that.
A big deal. In a down year, Juan Soto, 30 homers, 20 stolen bases at this particular point. First in baseball to get there. That's a big deal. Anyway, point is their offense is starting to heat up now together with Lindor, Soto, Alonso, not to mention maybe the depth pieces in that lineup.
Yeah, for sure. And think about this. Like the day-to-day dissection of these teams, right? It's going to yield some thought and some takes that are completely on the opposite end of the spectrum based on the way they're playing. That's the reality. And we'll get to the Yankees later. Yankees had a good weekend as well. Yeah. But, you know, and you've been fairly consistent with this. I saw you on SNY over the weekend. You've said this for a while. Like, you've never abandoned hope for the division. I don't necessarily agree with the division, yeah. but I respect where you're coming from.
Well, Matt's getting
you
in the way
start
soon.
Somewhere.
Matt's getting in the way soon. And really, if the Mets didn't trip all over them damn selves a week ago, we'd be talking about a three-game deficit right now, which is all in play. They got seven heads
ahead. For sure. Yeah, that's true.
And let me just say real quick on that. Like, it's... Because I want to be clear. It's not about hope. It is about belief. Deep down, I was texting Evan with this, I think on Thursday night, I forget what it was, but I was like, dude, as bad as it is, and as bad as it seems that it's bad, like, I can't believe they're losing a series to the crappy Braves. I still believe they're going to win the division. And until that is officially done, mm-hmm. I'm going to believe that they're going to win the division because we've seen crazy stuff happen in sports before, and it's not out of nowhere. I believe the Mets are good. Now, an Alvarez injury can throw the wrench in certain things here. You want to talk about that, whatever. But based on the ability that they have, the potential and talent that they have, I still believe they're going to win that damn division.
Well, let's not lose sight of that they're supposed to be here.
Yeah,
that's the main storyline. So really, the expectation, and again, different degrees of belief, like, Mets will be a playoff team, yeah. Mets will win the division, Mets will win the division
well,
going away,
yeah.
Braves will win
yeah.
this bad before
yeah,
the season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, some. I don't think anything said before the season pertaining to the Mets, Phillies, and Braves was outlandish because the talent was there and the recent success was there enough. I just think that when you get multiple months of erratic, not even erratic, poor play. I mean, erratic is when you play well at times and then you play poorly. I mean, the Mets have, for the most part, played poorly. And again, maybe this is the turning of the worm, so to speak. I still think that they are, and I've said this, and bad is a strong word, but I'll just use it to keep it moving. Bad at more things than they're good at. But if the bullpen comes around, and McLain, that's why I point to that for what gives me some hope for the Mets to actually get this thing going. If those things now, if the bullpen rectifies itself and McLain is, you know, a presence here, you know, every 5 or 6 days, well, now it changes what I believe that the Mets can be because, you know, there's other signs that, you know, Lindor and other guys joining the party. I don't think it was ever about abandoning hope. I think it was the contextualization of what the Mets were showing us who they were,
right.
And maybe this weekend is the starting point of them going back to what we thought they could be.
But in most those, you know, examples that people want to reference, it's from June 13th on. Even
yeah.
if you want to go, okay, well, from April on. Yeah, okay, but April did happen, and they've improved the talent since then, and they did win 7 in a row a couple of weeks ago. Like, those things did happen. My biggest thing is not even the wins, losses, because you could see that a year ago or whatever. You could reference a lot of different examples. My biggest belief or reason to believe is because I believe in the talent of Lindor, Soto, Alonso, Manaea, Senga, maybe even more specifically the bullpen. Now, maybe Helsley is just not a guy for New York. I don't know. I'm not seeing that yet. I don't think this is a Devin Williams situation yet. I mean, guy, he throws hard.
His start is as bad as Devin Williams' start was.
Yeah.
Now, Williams was the closer. Helsley is not. Helsley has been atrocious.
Yeah, I mean, he was okay.
He's been a zero, Dan.
I would say he's a zero.
Helsley has been terrible.
His first outing was fine.
Oh, he's been bad.
His first outing was, how many has he been here?
Five, six?
Yeah, okay. Well, his first one was good. His last one was good.
What's his ERA as a Met?
Yeah, he's been getting hit hard. Also, the defense has betrayed him a little bit. I'm just saying, like, I don't look at him and think that, oh, he's overwhelmed by New York. I think he throws hard. Guys can hit the fastball. So if you're secondary stuff is not working, if his slider's not working, that's where he's going to get hammered, and that's exactly what's happened here. So, but do you not believe in him? The guy's been one of the better closers in all of Major League Baseball. So if he doesn't have it, if this is Billy Taylor part two, they're not going to win a lot of games. But it's not like they need Reed Garrett to pick it up out of the bullpen. They've got Soto, they've got Raley, they've got Helsley, they've got Rogers, they've got Diaz. That's five arms. If you get three of those guys to click, you should be good with the starting pitching. So to me, assuming the starting pitcher gives you five innings, which also hasn't happened. So they have the pieces in the bullpen. The question is, will they do their job? So it's not, oh, they don't have the pieces, or they got to hope that Reed Garrett's something. He's not a Ryan Stanek. Like, these guys are no good. Helsley should be good. Will he be? I have no idea. But if he's not, that's going to change the outlook of the season. But I still believe in the players that they have there. Top of the order, even the bottom of the order, like, at worst, they have potential, like you saw with Vientos.
I hope Alvarez is okay. Yeah. I mean, because, you know, he's been swinging a bat better. Helsley's ERA, by the way, is 7. And not to beat that too well, but as a Met. Right. I mean, but here's the thing. Like, I don't know that he can't do it here in New York. I don't know. It's a small sample, much like I didn't jump to the Devin Williams conclusion when he was getting rocked early on as a Yankee. Right. I said, he's not pitching well, but I wasn't saying that he can't handle New York. Now, maybe ultimately, that's the case for one, both, or neither player. We'll find out. But the reason I look at Helsley, yeah, there's other competent arms out there. Raley's back healthy. We know that. Diaz is a stud. But until, the mass amount of arms in the Mets bullpen, to me, it's necessary, including Helsley, to do his job well until we see, and I don't mean a little weekend of a snapshot, until we see a consistent couple of turns through the rotation that the starters are able to go deep into the game. So I don't know that I can look at a Mets team if Helsley doesn't get his act together and the starters don't start bridging that gap better as good enough to be what Met fans need and want them to be. I can't say that.
Well, as far as what you're talking about?
Just in terms of being the team that we thought that they could be.
I don't think that the Mets could have done much better what they did with the bullpen acquisitions at the deadline.
But those, I agree.
Okay,
but if they don't work out,
they don't work out. Like, there's not.
But those are two different discussions. That's why when they
But it's not all, like, he's how many games has Helsley been in? This
at
computer,
least 6 or 7.
I want to throw this computer through the window. Like, can we get a functioning computer around here? Seriously, it's not working. 15 minutes before the show, the keyboard's not working. I can't even look it up. Can you give me Helsley's game log here? Point is, you may not have to like them. I like the arms. I believe in those arms. I thought the Mets did as well as they could. Rogers, by the way, has been giving up base hits left and right as well. So it's not like he's been lights out. I think that will turn. The starters are where I have the least confidence in because they've shown, like, Manaea has been a zero.
He's been bad.
He's been a disaster. Helsley, and you have a couple of bad outings, it's going to, especially now, it's going to get highlighted.
I understand. I'm not burying the guy. I'm just saying he's got a ERA 7, Sal.
Understood.
Let's start doing his job, getting some outs.
Understood. But it's been a few. I agree. His first outing was fine. He looked lights out, coming in the stupid song and blowing guys away. He's acknowledged that at least, like, hey, I'm not sure what's going on. Obviously, I got to be a little bit better.
He's answering like a big boy. I respect that.
Last night, I thought he was fine. What's his game log, Riscona, with Helsley?
So, over 8 games, he's pitched to a 3.61 ERA with the Mets so far.
Wait, say that again?
Helsley.
Yeah.
Over 8 games.
Right.
He's been 8 games with the Mets so far. He's pitched to a 3.61 ERA.
Boy, where are we getting a 7?
Over 42 innings.
In what?
That can't be right.
No, that's not right.
There's no way he's been 42 innings with the Mets.
Well, either way. By the way, the acknowledgement, I said the same for Cashman, the acknowledgement of what the Mets did going at the deadline, I loved.
Right.
But it still has to work out. Like, there's the in-the-moment evaluation, wow, I think the Mets got some really good arms, and I did, and I do, but they still have to do their job. That's all I'm saying.
Let me ask it this way. What do you think is the greatest strength of the Mets?
I think the greatest strength of the Mets could wind up being their bullpen and their first couple of hitters who are terrific they're on.
I think it is their first three in that order. You're talking about the
hitters?
Yeah.
Lindor,
Soto.
Lindor is also hitting .185 for 2 months. When they're on, Sal.
I get that. But there are other players that they're not on. Like, I'm not giving you Vientos. I'm not asking you to give me him.
Yeah.
Lindor was an MVP candidate a year ago. So we know he goes through these cold spells. It's maddening. It's frustrating. It's inconsistent. But we've seen, now we're seeing what he could do in the last week or so. Soto is a beast. Even in a bad year, he's still a beast. Alonso leading the league in ribbies. Like, those three are their strength. If they don't hit in September or October, the Mets are done. But that's a big if, because I would assume that they will hit because they've done that throughout their careers more often than not.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, so that's a clear strength.
I would expect them to perform.
That to me is a clear strength. Then my number two would be the bullpen. Now, that's
as a strength.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because Diaz, I mean, is as good as there is in a league.
That's why I said what I said, the bullpen and the first couple guys.
But he also could implode. Like, there's no guarantee with Diaz.
Yeah, but he's got equity here. We know he's a stud in New York. He's gotten the job done for years.
But if you go to the postseason and he blows a game, like, it happens. Yeah. But I'll take my chances with him, with Helsley, with Rogers, with Raley, who, by the way, Raley imploded the other night, but, like, nobody's perfect. I think the Mets have been in the spot where they've been asking these guys to be perfect. Helsley coming in, need him to be absolutely perfect here. Now, he hasn't gotten the job done. I mean, if he continues this, he's going to go the way of Billy Taylor. But I still think that the Mets at least have the pieces. Whether they do it or not, who the hell knows? All I could ask for is that they have the pieces in place to eventually get the job done.
So I was looking at his season totals, and that was 42.1. He's only pitched 6 1/3 with the Mets. He's let up 5 earned runs, and he's pitching to a 7.1 ERA.
So
he's
been in 6 innings with the Mets.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying, 6 innings. That's not. Now, all of a sudden, it could turn around quickly here in another week or so. Obviously, it's been a slow start for Helsley, but we got to see what's going on. Either way, the Mets have seemed to right the ship. We'll get more into the Yankees and obviously football stuff throughout the course of the show. Wanted to start with the Mets off their win last night. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Stefan is calling from Utica. What's up, Steph?
Hello, Steph.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are ya?
Good. What's up?
You start playing top 40 hits. You sound like a DJ from 1980. What's going on, buddy?
Well, on Saturday, Nolan McLean impressed me, and he did a good job pitching, and I think he needs another shot the next time around the rotation.
I agree, Steph. Well, he's gonna get it. I mean, if he doesn't get it, then just back up shop. I mean, the Mets have been looking for some length and for some effectiveness from the starting pitchers for a while. This kid comes out, strikes out 8 guys, shows command, shows some overpowered stuff. They better give him another start. And I would even say this, even if he gets rocked, which I wouldn't expect him to, I'm giving him a third.
Yeah, well, because the other option is Frankie Montas, which shouldn't be an option any longer. Now, the question that I would have, if you spin it forward, is will this make them want to call up somebody else? Like, I told you what I would do a couple weeks ago. Sproat and Tong, bring them up. Now, maybe you don't have to do it right now, but eventually going into the postseason, I don't want to see Reed Garrett. Like, I don't want to see Reed Garrett. I don't want to see Ryan Stanek. I'm trying to win a World Series. And if you're trying to do that, you got to trim the fat now. I think the potential of Tong, and I don't care about the 40-man decisions, the potential of Sproat and Tong and obviously McLean was greater than what Montas is, what Reed Garrett or what Stanek is. Montas, different situation because he signed next year. So they're just going to cut him when they're going to have to pay him $17 million to be a part of the rotation next year. Hope that he could figure it out in the offseason. But I'm trying to make this team the best that I can to go win a division now. And there's only 38 games to go.
Well, I mean, listen, I look at somebody like Montas, and you were out on Friday, and I guess he said this on Thursday. He's like, I'm not thrilled about it. Like we care. Like, he's not thrilled about his changing roles.
Yeah,
fantastic. Yeah. What a very noble approach. A guy that's been knocked around left and right is now thrilled with his position with the Mets. Tough. You got to get over it. So I would rather have somebody like, I'm with you, like the unknown and the intrigued of the young pitchers. It has always been something that I find interesting, provided that the veteran is showing signs of no longer having it. Now, which is where Montas is at. One place that you and I are very different, I'm not really in a rush to take a kid up and first time he gets a taste of the major leagues, have him go to a different role. I don't love that, but if the Mets think that they can, they know their temperament, they know their personalities, and if they think they can handle it, then I'm all for it. I don't love it, but you got to trust. They know their players.
And in my scenario, it would be Sproat up to the rotation and Holmes to the bullpen, because you have now, you keep a starter being a starter, and you move Holmes back to the bullpen. But Holmes was pretty good last night.
He was pretty good.
Lindor's poor defense didn't help him out, had him exhausted there in that third or fourth inning, whatever it was, but he ended up responding nicely. So, hey, they just needed to stabilize a little bit. Again, they have guys that have been proven before, whether it be Senga, whether it be Holmes, whether it be Manaea. Like, they have guys that have been proven. I'm not asking Montas to go out there and throw 5 innings because he can't do it. And obviously, that's why they moved him to the bullpen. So, at least with the proven commodities, they just basically got to hope it's going to turn around. David Peterson, he had maybe the one bad start that was the aberration for him. All of a sudden, you start to string those starts together. you that's how you piece this thing together and stabilize and put everything back into place.
Listen, I could say this. So I don't think the Mets will win the division, and I haven't thought that for all. Doesn't mean that I'll be right. Right. Clearly.
I think most people, like, they're plus 500 something to win it right now. I'm just saying that I've seen crazy stuff happen. Yep. I'm not giving up belief until it's definitively. Like, if they lose, if they go 3-3 over the next six, I think mathematically and what you've seen, it's unrealistic to think that. Right now, I don't think the Phillies are that good either, by the way.
Yeah, they've got flaws. I don't think either New York team's going to win the division. Yeah. But, to me, I don't think that it's irresponsible or nutty to say, hey, I think the Mets are going to go on a run, and they're going to cut into this lead, and you get into September. If this is the Lindor, you get the rest of the way, and Soto and everything that you've said. I don't think it's nuts to think that they could win the division. But the evaluation of the Mets, it's tied into this fragileness because they've given us so many reasons to think that they can't do it. For me, it doesn't seem cohesive with what I would think and what I've seen so far to say that they're gonna or that they could win the division. But this is baseball. It's a long run. And it's not like they were a 75-win team a year ago. This team has elements of a winning DNA because of last year. They've just been erratic. And if this weekend was the start of ending that volatility, be nice to see.
BT and Sal on the Fan. More your calls as we come back. 888-808-1019. Got to get some football from the weekend as well. We'll do that coming up at 11. We got Yankee stuff here. Yankees getting back in the thick of things with their sweep of the Cardinals. So a lot to do here on this Monday morning. BT and Sal on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries. And you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
Michelle, fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Stylin', wildin'.
with Saint Laurent. Gotta kiss myself. I'm so pretty. I'm
too BT and Sal back on the Fan. Things back up for both our baseball teams all of a sudden after a weekend here at BT. A lot can change in a week, in a couple of days. It just feels totally different after a few wins. Yanks had that last week, and then obviously over the course of the weekend, we'll get to them coming up in a little bit. And the Mets finally winning a series. It's like, geez, is that all it takes? Is winning a series to make it feel good? Yes, stabilizing a little bit and then hoping to build from it. Obviously, if they go and lose to the Nationals or lose to the Braves, then they're in trouble. We were just talking about during the break. That's why I looked at this 12-game stretch. And even me, like, in the moment, I'm like, geez, how can they lose to Atlanta? I told you, if they lose to Atlanta, I'm done. Meanwhile, they lose 2 out of 3 to Atlanta. But my goal of 9-3 is still there. Who's to say that they can't win 6 in a row here and go 9-3? All right, 8-4. I take it. Put it this way. It needs to be something like that to realistically, mathematically still be alive for the division before you take on the Phillies on Monday, right? That's when they play the Phillies.
Yeah, so Phillies are Monday, yeah.
Right, so they get the
3-game set
today.
Yep.
3 in Washington, 3 in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
Then back home to take on the Phillies for 3. They get the Reds on their schedule still. They have another series in September with the Phillies as well.
Playing Detroit too, probably face Schuble at some point. That's in Detroit.
They're going to be tested. Yeah. But that's what I mean, like 38 games or whatever. That's a lot of baseball still to go. You're talking about nearly 40 games.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot to change. The opinions or the feel for the season, but there's also enough baseball to reinforce the feeling that's kind of swallowed up the Mets for most of the summer. It can go both ways, is what I'm saying.
But don't you think that, like, why are we evaluating June 13th to August 8th, what is it, 17th? August 18th more than April to June? Because on June 13th, I know the afternoon show made a big deal about it, but you and I were at that point talking about, like, man, Mets and Yankees right now top of the sport for both teams. But so April, May, June, like, that counts just as much as June 13th to August 18th.
It does. I mean, literally, I'm not pushing back on that, but just take any team that we follow. I mean, let's say Mike Brown of the Knicks start 17-2, and we're like, oh, here we go. It looks phenomenal. Knicks are cooking. They made the right move. And then all of a sudden, there's a 2-month malaise where Towns and Brunson aren't cooking, or this guy's not doing that, this guy isn't doing this. Now, I mean, at some point, you got to react to what you see. I understand what you're saying. Like, that's why when you bag wins early, nobody's looking to take them away or give them back there or even minimize it as less than a singular win.
Right.
Literally, you win a game, you lose. But I think because the manner in which they've lost, where there's been multiple malfunctions, the starters have been bad, the bullpen, even with the additions, and we got to give them time to get it right. I'm not saying that I'm not, but some of the early signs with Helsley are troubling and troublesome. Maybe he rectifies it, maybe he doesn't. And then the other things with the lineup, like the lower third, now Alvarez probably hurt again. Soto's been good, but not quite Soto. Lindor was on ice for 2 months. Like, there was a lot to react to with these Mets.
But that's why with those particular guys, I would bank on their track record. And isn't it funny how last year was the total opposite? Last year was they were the worst team in baseball until June or whatever it was. And then they took off and were the best team in baseball the rest of the way. And even then, like, I still had a hard time believing fully. And they barely made the postseason. They made it on the last day.
Yep.
And they should have lost, really, to Milwaukee. If not for Pete Alonso, either knowing what pitch was coming, whatever it may be, against Evan Williams. You heard about that. Mm-hmm. That he was tipping his pitches.
Mm-hmm.
They would have gone home in the first wild card round. And that wouldn't have been good enough. So, people get caught up in the results of last year as opposed to looking at what was the majority of the year. I think they're better this year. I have more belief in this year's team, in the talent, in the reinforcements that they added at the deadline, what they did to start the year. I believe more in that than I do over the way that they've played since June 13th.
The biggest difference for me is that, like, if Manaea doesn't get right, when we say that they could be better than last year's, I mean, anything could happen, or they are better, or they have more talent like that, that's also assuming that Manaea gets his act together. He's been terrible.
The only answer to that would be, okay, well, you have McLean who stayed. Like, it can't be Manaea and nobody else. It could be, well, Peterson, McLean, Senga.
Yeah, there's other ways to get there. Understood.
Like, he doesn't have to. If he's a bust, they just need the other four to pick it up or potentially call up Sproat and take up his spot. Now, you're asking a lot. But Manaea, to me, has been the biggest failure and disappointment so far because he's been a zero. And I believed in him based on what I saw in the second half of last year.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, because his overall track record. But at the very least, I mean, I didn't think he'd be this bad.
Yeah.
So if he's hurt or not going to be contributing at all, then it's get him out of the way and see how you're going to fix that spot, or at least have the other guys really pick him up.
Listen, I think the Mets are like a lot of teams in baseball, certainly in the NL. I think they're one of the good teams. I think they're flawed. I happen to think they're more flawed than maybe a team that they might ultimately fall in the playoffs to, maybe. Right. But no, this team is not without talent. If anything, these 2 months represent wild underachievement. So, and maddening inconsistency. So if this is the start to the Mets stabilizing their season, you know what I would say? It's about freaking time.
Yeah.
Keep it up.
Kevin is calling from Moreau, Connecticut. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's up?
Hi, Kev.
Yeah, so, I hope, like you said, I hope it's the beginning of the stabilization. I'm not, like, fully bought in. They need to go sweep the Nationals and just kind of get on a roll here. But I really think Stearns missed out on fixing the rotation by getting Holmes into the bullpen. Like, they should have used some of these prospects instead of getting Rogers, maybe. What are we doing with Holmes? Like, he's going to be closing in on, like, 150, 60, 70 pitches and then entering the playoffs. Like, why not get a starter and move Holmes to the pen? He can't pitch, you know, triple the innings.
Well, they might. But I think what would be probably pretty advantageous, and thanks for the call there, Kev, to the Mets, if they're going to go that route, Sal, wouldn't you rather do it now or in a week so that Holmes now has ample time to retransition to his old role rather than, oh, it's October 2nd.
Yeah, but
Holmes, you're the pen.
But a lot of times once you get to the postseason, it's like, okay, you've done your job in the regular season. Now you're going to be moved to the pen, which I don't. Remember, we talked about this last year with the Yankees. It's not about the innings. It was with the Yankees with Heel, and now it's the Mets with Holmes. It's not about the innings. It's about the metrics showing if 100%. There is a drop-off.
Yeah.
Clay Holmes, this is not debatable, has been one of the Mets' best starting pitchers this entire year. So even with his faults or deficiencies, can't go deep in a game, has been off a little bit as of late, whatever, a month or so, he's still been one of their best starting pitchers. Last night, he was terrific against a good Mariners team. So you just got to know what it is that you're asking for. Like, he's never going to be, at least in my opinion, a six-inning, seven-inning guy. You need to maximize his five innings. Is that Clay Holmes going out there for five innings, whether it be game four of a postseason series, whether it be right now in the rotation, is that better than the replacement for him, let's say Brandon Sproat, when you move Clay Holmes to the bullpen? If you asked me a week ago, I said I can't deal with this with Clay Holmes anymore. There are too many limitations. But maybe that would have been too reactionary and they're being patient. And now off of last night, it's like, okay, let's see what he could do next time. And if their metrics, which I don't have, because I would just think, well, the innings are obviously he's going to be tired here. That's why he's not performing. But if their metrics are saying otherwise, then you have to trust that until they see them start to show a clear decline in performance. I'm not talking about third time through the order. I'm talking about in general.
Yeah.
Then ride him in the starting rotation.
Yeah. I mean, I remember bringing this up last year. Like the, and I always thought this for a long time as well. Like benchmark innings, but no, it's about the RPMs and the things that we don't really want to talk about on the radio, but obviously are paramount to their decisions. I would love to know what those numbers are, analytically speaking, because I have to think that there's been a bit of a drop in those numbers that correlate to a drop in performance last night aside. Right. Listen, Clay, at the end of the day, a power sinker is really the toughest pitch to have to be economical, because you just think about where you have to throw it. If you start it too high and it finishes at the letter, it's going to get mashed. If you start it too, you know, middle to too low, it's going to scrape the worms and it's going to basically hit the dirt, and you're going to throw a lot of pitches just because you're falling behind 2-0, 3-0, 3-1. So I don't ultimately know what the answer is. I have faith in Clay Holmes, whether it's the first inning or the eighth inning, to get meaningful outs. I do.
Right.
His stuff is terrific.
Right.
They got to manage it properly. We'll see what happens.
Right, and it's either going to be four innings, five innings, maybe two or three innings if they do move him to the bullpen. You just got to think about, okay, well, what are the better options at this point? And McClain, after what he did, it's easy to say, but maybe Sproat could do that. Maybe not, though, and we have no idea. Mm-hmm. Anthony's calling from Bridgewater, New Jersey. What's up, Ant? Bless you.
What's up,
thank
guys?
You. Salud.
Thanks for my call, guys.
What's up, Ant?
First off, I agree with you, Brandon. Helsley has been terrible. And Sal, I get that, you know, you're going to go with hopefully he gets better, but it's not even so much to me giving up.
Hold on. It's not hopefully he's going to get better. It's that he has been terrific in his career. He's had six outings. Two have been good, four have been bad. Like, so you're going to make a definitive.
But Sal, this out. Now, let me make one point. I want to fight you about Halsey, but let's be honest, though. I mean, that's a decent sample that when you're starting in a pennant race here, when you have six quality, you know, and then he's getting bombs too. By the way, like they're hitting home runs off him, not like little like you know dribblers or walks. Like they're hitting home runs.
They're hitting
off
them.
Yeah,
they're hitting them hard. Yep.
Diaz never got hit hard. I mean, I've seen Edwin Diaz be as bad as you could be for an entire year. An entire year. Listen, and now what is he?
I know.
So you think I'm going to overreact to a guy who's got a 3 ERA and has been lights out with the Cardinals in 6 measly outings? I'm not going to do it. It doesn't mean it's right or wrong. I still believe Halsey's going to be lights out. I still believe that.
All right.
Wholeheartedly. We'll find out.
I hope you're right. Yeah. I hope you're right. And 2 other points real quick before I go. Manaea, worried about him too a little bit. His size has been more bad than good in his career. I mean, he had that little arm angle change last
him
year.
Him I'm worried about.
Yes. And then finally, I don't know if you guys got a chance to look. I mean, obviously we want to win the division, but did you see how brutal the Reds' schedule is?
No.
They have like 13 or 14 games on the West Coast still with Padres, Dodgers, Angels, A's.
Oh, good.
And they have to play the Blue Jays, Cubs. Like, that's tough.
Here's the bottom line, Noanne, and thank you for the call. This is where I draw the line here. You can't be looking at back end of the postseason as a final wild card team and worry about the Cincinnati freaking Reds. All due respect. No. Terry Francona or not. Like, I'll be damned if I'm sitting here as a Met fan with Steve Cohen, with the talent that they brought in, with the payroll that they have spent, worrying about trying to back in because of the Reds' difficulty. The Reds aren't a thought in my freaking mind. I'm not worried about the Reds. If the Mets I'll say it even further. If the Mets make the playoffs as the third wild card team, that's an embarrassment. The third wild card team? Like, you only got in because Manfred is expanding the sport beyond belief? There's no way that should happen. Now, you take it, you get in, you take your chances, but...
Like last year.
But last year's a different story. This year, there's no way that should be good enough. I'm not saying you automatically have to win the division, but you think Met fans should be okay with looking at the Reds' schedule, hoping that their West Coast trip or whatever's on their schedule should aid the Mets in getting into the postseason? That is... pathetic. No, thank you. I want no part of that. Go catch the Padres. Go catch somebody else in there. You're going to back in because Cincinnati's not any good. That's why I'm so focused on the division here. Like, that's, you get in, okay, you take it, but the third wild card, that would be a very, very, very disappointing regular season if the Mets were to get in. I don't care if they get in, if they were to get in as a third wild card team.
Well, I think the right word that you used was embarrassing. I mean, what's the Reds' payroll? Well, 120, on. I 150, I have no idea what it is. I know what the Mets is, 330. Now, we also know that, you know, there are other teams, and the Mets aren't alone. Yanks have flushed down some money. Dodgers, I mean, every team, Phillies, any team that spends a lot of money doesn't spend every single penny wisely. But I also don't get I can't write the Reds off because, quite frankly, I don't watch them every night.
Right.
You know, I get it, like, even, like, with Toronto, I didn't write Toronto off. I see Toronto a lot more because they play the Yankees a lot more than the Mets play the Reds. And I'm dialed into it more, but I don't because a team doesn't have a recent track record, I don't know. I know they play a brand of baseball that's pretty exciting. I think they've got one of the best managers this century in Francona. So I'm going to give them a puncher's chance, but I don't get too wrapped up in the Mets now. The Mets have to sweep the Nationals. Just play good baseball, like the sweeps or, you know, it's not about that. Just, you know, collect a couple of wins each series. Don't get punked by the Phillies when you play them. And you keep this up for the next 40 games. The Mets should be in good shape.
Yeah,
should.
And it's a great point about Cincinnati. That's not to disparage Francona or the Reds or their talent or what they've done.
I'm not watching them every night.
Yeah, and I don't care. This is New York. Look at the talent that the Mets have in comparison to what Cincinnati has. Look at how much they've spent. And you get callers calling and being like, oh, well, the Reds' schedule is difficult. No, that to me is embarrassing. That's embarrassing. Yeah, you want to get in, but as far as if we were to grade the regular season and the Mets barely make the postseason, even if they make it like 5 games better than the Reds, like to me as a third wild card, that's not good enough.
119 is the payroll. 119.
Yeah, I mean, come on. And now, their schedule's tough. Like, no, this should not be. Last year, maybe. Just trying to get in with an upstart team, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not mentioning World Series. Like, when I'm trying to be positive during this rut here. I'm not talking about World Series team and all that. Worry about that in the playoffs. But as far as the regular season goes, you got to get in by a third wild card, and you're backing your way in. That, to me, is pathetic.
I didn't think the season, it might not be, I didn't think the season would come down to Met fans scoreboard watching what the Reds are doing against the Pirates.
Come on, man. Come on. Pick it up a little bit.
888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal here on The Fan on this Monday. Get to the Yankees, Jets, and Giants as well. I mean, we got a lot to unpack. Jackson Dart, Abdul Carter talking smack. Jets passing game not looking good.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Yanks have stabilized things as well. Back-to-back series wins. Obviously, the Twins won. Would like to see the sweep there. They won the first two, lost the third. And then over the weekend with the Cardinals. Now, I'm not going to go nuts over this either here, but to cherry-pick a couple things that I really liked over the weekend. Ben Rice is a hitter, man. Mm-hmm. I don't know what position this young man's going to play for the Yankees. Might wind up being catcher,
they
ultimately.
They love him at catcher.
Can't
block a ball, but they love him at catcher. I love the way he calls the game.
He's definitely better than he is at first base, because every time Volpe throws him to the dirt, I haven't seen him pick one yet. So if he's going to gravitate to a certain defensive position, it might wind up being catcher. Who knows? That's what he was by trade. Anyway, Ben Rice was great Saturday. Luis Gil gives you something to latch onto from Friday. But my favorite part, Sal, I know the Cardinals aren't that good. I love that the Yankees scored 8 runs yesterday and didn't have a home run.
Right.
I love that. And that's why some of their recent wins, like the first wins game, I got on the air, and I think you were out that day. I said, I'm not looking to give any wins back here. You know, you got to take them and stash them and keep them moving here. But I've just seen that script too many times. You bludgeon an overwhelmed pitcher. You hit 3-4 home runs. They hit 4 that night that I'm referencing. 8 runs, couple of stolen bases, a little, you know, go the other
Caballero
way.
Yeah,
I like the way they look yesterday.
Yeah, I think that they're, here's what I would say about the Yankees. Freed is a big concern, by the way. Maybe
massive
not a big concern.
No, massive. massive, massive.
When I say big concern, I still trust that he'll get a turnaround. He's been a massive problem as of late. I don't know what the hell's going on with Max Fried just getting lit up.
Yeah.
That entire series was a hideous display of baseball. But the Yankees won three games. The closing situation is figured out with Bednar. Heel, like you said, is encouraging. And to me, the reason why I never gave up hope on what the Yankees can be is their offense can still be elite. Their offense, their lineup can be as good as anybody's in the game. Now, will that happen in October? I have no idea. But when you have, especially when you have the first two guys, Grisham, Rice, getting on in front of Judge.
Yep.
Because now you're making an impossible decision. You can't pitch around Judge, and if you do, you're going to be screwed because I think the guys behind Judge this year are better than they were last year. So you want to say Glaber, Soto, Judge at their peak, could that be better than this top three? Okay, whatever. Obviously, we know what Judge and Soto were together, but their top three right now, Grisham, Rice, Judge, is terrific. And the guys behind Judge now are better with Bellinger when Stanton's actually in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Should lengthen it out. Jazz even in there. You know, whatever you want to go, however you want to go up and down that lineup, the rest of that lineup. I don't like Dominguez. I know he had a couple hits, but he'll be out of there once.
McMahon, whatever, fine.
And he made the error over the week. Whatever the point is, I think that their lineup is deeper. That to me, when people are like, oh, well, the Yankees are done, I'm like, I'm not giving up on this team. Because of that offense, their offense is just too good. The only question mark becomes, well, against good pitching, is it going to be there?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're going to see in the postseason. But as far as the regular season, with their schedule being the way that it is and with their bats being what they are, I have no concerns about the Yanks mashing their way to a postseason.
I think they'll be a playoff team. I still don't think they win the division. I just don't. Now, those last 13, 14 games are very, you know, easy, certainly. I bet you got the Orioles, you got the White Sox. I mean, they'll be completely checked out. So the Yankees might just rip off, you know, they might go 11-2 or 12-1, and they could win the division. I don't see it myself, and I've said that for a while now. But I think Yankees are a playoff team.
Two teams in front of them. I mean, a big series with the Red Sox coming up this weekend.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to get some answers here. But the biggest question is, without Max Fried, the Yankees really don't have a chance to win a championship. Like, this is not two starts or three starts. And even if Max Fried pitches really well, I still don't love their chances to win a championship. I've said that. But, Sal, this is not a four or five games. Max Fried.
Yeah, I know.
For 10 starts. 10. I mean, think about this. If you are healthy and you are an ace, you generally make 32, 33 starts a year. So we are now trending in the vicinity of, and it could be worse if he doesn't stabilize it, 32, 33, 35, 40% of his starts this year not being any good.
Yeah, especially
Max Fried's been bad.
Especially when they need it the most here down the stretch. I know, but still with a guy with that potential and with that track record, I still believe he's going to get it turned around. At some point, there's been a little bit of bad luck in there. You're right, he's been bad. He's giving up home runs left and right.
He's walking guys. That's what concerns me.
Yeah, I know. Well, I can't stand when pitchers do that. I'm not sure what the issue is. But either way, he's got... Yeah, for them to have any chance in the postseason, he's got to figure that out. But now, I still think they'll hit their way to...
To the playoffs? Yeah, I mean, listen, you're probably right.
Maybe to the division as well. I mean,
think about this. Like, just with Fried some more. Like, even if Fried is, let's say... 15 to 20% better the rest of the year, eventually. Again, I don't think it's going to flip on a dime and go back to being Cy Young first 2 months, Max. I don't see that happening. But I would think that he would be better rather than worse. Would the 15 or so percent uptick in Fried, would that be enough if what we saw from Luis Gil is a foreshadow of Luis Gil coming and starting to ready to do some damage here? Good thing.
Yeah, Rodon still got the potential. Gil, thank goodness, stabilizing a little bit here for the Yanks. It's still, like Booney says, everything right there in front of him. Well, he said a good, I forget what it was, but it was a good one. I think it was after yesterday. It's like basically they haven't even hit their apex yet as a team all year long. Now, the thing is, hey, there's 38 games or something to go. We get it. And they're hoping that Judge can play the outfield. Bellinger, two left. So you got Bellinger, Grisham, Judge. That is a loaded outfield.
Mm-hmm.
You got Ben Rice and Stanton in that lineup
together.
Goldschmidt
hit a little bit over the weekend when he played.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's going to, you would hope, mash lefties. That'll be his job. But they have some depth there. Defensive replacement at first base.
Caballero, get some stolen bases. Yeah. I love it. I actually like what he brings to the team.
Me too. That was one of the reasons why I gave Cashman an A. Not just the bullpen moves, but because of that move right there, that's the type of player that can help your roster construction.
No doubt.
Where you could use him all over the place. A speedy guy that could put the bat on the ball. That's something that they needed. So Yanks back a little bit here and should get better here, you would think, with the schedule being what it is. Anthony's calling from Manalapan. What's up, Ant?
What's going on, guys? As much as we talk about how good Ben Rice has been doing, his advanced stats are even crazier. His expected OPS is almost 1,000, which, you know, is one of the best in the league. He is the most unlucky hitter in all of baseball based on how hard he hits the ball and everything.
You know, Ant, Boone was saying that for a while during the early stages of the season. And you're right. You're right. But not everybody's into it's one thing to reference certain stats, like, you know, whiff rate, whatever. We always have fun with that. But you start getting into expected OPS, like, that's a little bit much for some. Not for me, but for some. I'll just tell you this. Watch Ben Rice play baseball. The guy squares up and hits the ball hard, and the stats do back that up as much as anybody on the team.
Yeah,
as much as Aaron Judge.
Yeah, the only issue that you could identify that early on. Like,
immediately.
This is a big thing. The only issue that I would have is he doesn't have a position, and on a team that has already at least one DH,
yep,
he's another one. I wouldn't trust him at first base in a big spot, and I certainly wouldn't trust him behind the plate. Now, they do. They like him at catcher. And Austin Wells has been a zero this year for the most part.
I mean,
especially big picture.
With the average and stuff.
Well,
he's disappointed me. I actually like Ben Rice much better behind the plate than at first base. To me, he's not a first baseman. I'm not saying he's Punch Rodriguez.
I know. I don't think he's a catcher either.
I mean, he might not be.
There's a difference.
He ain't a first baseman.
Right, well, but if I were to tell you, now you tell me, this is why today's baseball is so weird. If I were to tell you that he's great offensively,
mm-hmm,
and calls a great game, but can't throw anybody out, and is below average, to put it kindly, as far as blocking balls behind the plate.
Mm-hmm.
You think that's a big league catcher?
I don't, but it's also 2025 where there's a finite amount of engagements, and guys don't run as much, even though they're starting to run more because of the two engagements you're permitted. But if this was like the 70s and 80s with Ricky Henderson and
he'd never make
Davey
it, no.
Lopes run a while, that Willie, he's got no shot.
And he still might not now, but like they're hanging on the idea that he calls a good game. And they want to get his bat in the lineup in addition to having Stanton's bat in the lineup and probably Goldschmidt as well.
Yeah.
And the way to do that is say, well, he calls a good game and he's a great bat, so we'll forget about the fact that he can't throw anybody out and is subpar at blocking balls behind the plate. So to me, I'd value defense first as a catcher. Calling a great game, blocking balls, having a good arm. Like, I wouldn't say you have to throw out, you know, whatever, 50% of your arms, whatever the highest number is, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I'd value those things and figure out a way to move that bat somewhere else.
And by the way, Sal, if you don't need to look at metrics and deep dive in numbers, I mean, think about when Alvarez was a mess defensively. It's very easy for us to detect when a guy's not blocking the ball properly or receiving it properly. You know, same with Rice, certainly with certain situations. The thing that I don't get too wrapped up in, like, when we, and I don't do this, but some do, like, they laud, and the Yankees do, like, he calls a good game, but most of what is called is a reaction to the numbers.
Yeah.
This guy's weak against the slider. This guy's susceptible to this. It's not like any of these catchers are like so like pre-programmed and just can read the future or just have such great gut. No, it's all based on what these guys at the plate do.
But maybe his head is just more in the game than Austin Wells.
I mean, I can't quantify that. Yeah. Maybe they can. I don't know.
There are certain ways to say, like, Austin Wells walking off a second base.
I think you meant beyond the plate.
Well, that's a part of it, too. Yeah. But that's one glaring example that can make you think, hey, maybe his head is just not as into it as Ben Rice. But either way, the Yankees offense.
He can hit, though, man. Yeah, he swings the bat, boy.
Dude.
He hammers it.
You kidding me? I mean, the way Grisham's season with Rice in front of Judge, that is a potent 1-2-3. And having Bellinger, Stanton behind them, that's what I'm saying, man. Yankees still very dangerous, right? BT and Sal on the Fan. More of your calls as we come back. Mets and Yanks. We'll get into the football stuff as well. 888-808-1019 right now. Let's get you updated. Here is Crystal Presti.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.